But say person they wait, say one enter bus, they rush.
No.
There are things I just didn't agree to do. And that's how it is for me in life. You didn't find work. Where are you? You go Lagos. I ask for you next time, say, you did Kaduna. I ask you next time, say, you don't go Abuja. After that, you're in Bayels, you know, after that, you don't reach Akure. From there, now you are connected to Adamawa State. I just know you are not blessed. You are confused. What I always tell such people, I say, come home, take a leave, post your certificate somewhere that is into a safe. Don't use it for 5 months. You need to cool your brain and connect with heaven. Job will soon look for you where you are. How many places did David go to before Samuel found him? Huh? Everybody hears somebody. Every day you hear somebody, know somebody. You've taken phone number. You're exerting your energy. And then you'll not be reading books that are deceiving you, confusing you. A winner. 7 attitudes of a winning man. One is a go-getter. When others are sleeping, he is awake. Listen, when righteous men are sleeping, you should be asleep. There is a time for everything. A time to sleep and a time to wake up. I said, no, you can't put off your phone. The other day, you know, my wife and I, she knows what I'm talking about. One of our friends said, why you go out? You know, maybe he and his wife are quarreling. So people intervene. And he's always going out at night. He said, that's when I meet clients. I said, are they devils? What are they? Satanists. Now only night you go see them. Any client you can't see in the afternoon is of his father the devil. Leave him alone. Your prosperity does not depend on him. Waiting. You want to see client. They carry you to Orange Room. Where's the name of that? There's one. What did they call that place again? An Orange Room inside which building? City Center. And so I can't enter this place. If they see me, they go arrest me. A friend of mine called me today. He said that job he was applying for, they come that they gave somebody else. I said, why did they give you guys now? He said, you know us now. He said, we're not going to give kickback to anybody. I said, very good. Just maintain it. There are many jobs you won't get to. I'm not saying you will get all jobs. But just maintain it. In due season, somebody said due season. You will reap your reward if you faint not. The problem with a lot of Christians is they faint. They say, I won't give kickback. After they have refused to give 6 kickbacks and 6 jobs have gone away, they start saying that this is wisdom. A man has to be wise in this life. Start quoting scripture that they will double their tithe. You know, it's just corruption. Say, God, I'm using your wisdom to double this tithe so that God, don't talk, I gave you 20%. They fainted. The Bible says they did not love their lives even unto death. That is what brings forth that due season. I hope you know what I'm saying. In life, you must make up your mind, I will succeed by the grace and the grace of God alone. I'm in ministry, you know, preaching the word of God. Many ideas I have been given. They are good ideas. I said, but they are flesh ideas. How to market your books and sell more. I have one strategy now for marketing my books and pushing out more. Who knows the strategy? Hang it free on the internet. Selling more, forget. I'm not interested in selling more. I'm not writing books to make money. All kinds of methods to network and connect. There are people that maybe people are going abroad. Say, maybe a pastor says he's going to preach abroad. Say, take one of my CDs now and share with them. Tell your neighbor, Ole. You know what's Ole? You don't know what's Ole? Okay, tell your neighbor, Oyoshi. Jaguda. That's what the man is. When you heard somebody was going to Congo, why didn't you give them your CD? Don't they need the gospel in Congo? It's the one that's going to America, you're saying, give them your CD. Look, I met a man who's the pastor of a very big church in Atlanta. Is it Atlanta? No, LA. Los Angeles. My friend was wedding. He traveled down because the girl getting married was a member of his church for years. The guy is my friend. So they called me on the high table, was sitting beside me. So in the course of Jesus, he found out that he's a PhD holder. I think he's a lawyer, has a PhD. And then he found out I'm a doctor, medical doctor. So you're a professional. You know, we shook hands, was really impressed. You know, he took my number and everything. So later on, I just saw your number. I said, this man, if I go to call him, why say no, go call him? I said, no, I don't call anybody. Why not? I said, he's in LA. If I call him now, he thinks I want to come and preach. He's a pastor of a big church. I mean, it makes sense for me. I said, I'm not calling him. I think I still have his number somewhere. I said, I'm not calling him. Once a friend of mine, he said, thank you, you're going to be in Houston for a while. I said, yes. He knew the pastor of the biggest Redeemed Church in town. I'll connect. The pastor called me once. Okay, Pastor Banky, somebody give me your number. Okay, what? That as that call hung, the next time I called that guy, I'd packed my bag, I'd left Houston. Not begging you to preach. I don't know when human beings. It's an open door. School day here, you never go there, go preach. Are those doors closed? This is the one that's in America that is open. I've been invited to come and preach. Praise God. Where? I'm going to United Kingdom. And praise God. The ministry is moving. Only. A lot of time, what do they find? Money. Listen, I'm not saying there are no open doors in America. A friend of mine, one day, God opens doors. He just used to blog, you understand? Just write things. People started reading his blogs from abroad. And next thing he knew, he said all the churches he preached, many of them was the only black person. Right from Enugu Hill. But all this one of connecting and networking with people. I've had all kinds of ideas that presented to me. I say I don't want. Tell your neighbor, due season. Let me tell you the story again of T.D. Jakes. 12, I forgot how many years. Let me not give figures. For many years, he was there pastoring a small church. He was always counseling women. American black women have a lot of problems, more than Nigerian one. So, he said he discovered after a while, he would counsel Sally, counsel Agnes, Susie, he said all their problems were the same. So to save himself time from counseling this person and counseling that person, he organized seminars. He began to teach. They called the first set woman thou art loosed. Everybody went crazy over it. He went to do another in his friend's church. Let me make a long story short because I don't want to speak too much about the jigs now. He was preaching for Carlton Pearson during the Azusa series that the man does. The man had a 30-minute program. He put in 4 preachers, 7 minutes each, because that gave him 28 minutes. In the 7 minutes that he was on was when Paul Crouch came in into his house, put on the TV, and he saw this fat, big black man preaching. The man spoke right into the center of Paul Crouch's situation at that particular point in time. The man picked the phone, called somebody, said, who is that fellow? That was how he became the T.D. Jakes that you know today. Suddenly, that was it. He was on TV. Next thing you know, books are selling in millions. He's all over the place. Not by human arrangement and connection. In life, you must succeed by the grace of God. Not by your own energy. Another story I love to tell all the time is that of Lift Him Up Man. What's his name? Ron Kenoly. He tried the arm of flesh and it failed him. Let me pray one prayer for you. Please say amen, because it's important. May the arm of flesh fail you. Amen. Because if the arm of flesh helps you a bit, you're in trouble. It will lift you up, then it will drop you. When you hit the floor, you'll be in 17 pieces like Sudai Bomba. You know Sudai Bomba? When you don't blow, you know, the guy is in many pieces. That's what arm of flesh does to people. But if you fail now by arm of flesh, it's good. Because he that is down, I mean, he can't go further down. Then when God raises you up, he will sustain you there. That is a matter of fact. Ron Kenoly said he sent demo tapes everywhere. I'm an artist. I'm not a believer. I want to sing for the Lord. He said, thank you. Many people are singing for the Lord. And one day he said, you know, they do again. Oh, God is good, though. One day I got insulted. Anyway, I'll get there in a moment. I understood why David wanted to kill somebody. I'll tell you the gist in a moment. I'm of flesh. That's why I'm talking to you the story. Anyway, so he went back to church and he was what you call a music pastor, choir director. Then one day, one of the directors of Integrity Music appeared, attended the service, heard the man lead songs. He went up to him and said, "Good afternoon, sir. I am so-and-so person. I want you to pray about recording an album with us." Ron Canelli said, "That was one thing I didn't have to pray about." "I'm praying about what? I've prayed about this since long ago." Next thing you knew, he was there releasing Jesus Is Alive. The next album was Lift Him Up. You know the story of Lift Him Up. If you are old enough, you understand what I'm saying? Because it's been some years now. Lift Him Up was, at that time, the best-selling praise and worship music album ever produced. The man went to every continent almost of this earth singing those Lift Him Up songs. When he came to Lagos, I heard this story from his mouth. That it was the grace of God in his due season. God can use men. You understand my point? He can use physical things. He says, "Send us help from above, for vain is the help of man." God can use men, but we must never look up to men. If he wants, he will use grass. Yes? If he wants, he can use raven. Yes? If he wants, he can use donkey. He can use chariots. He can use human beings. He can use anything. Once your eyes are fixed on him, then you will succeed by his grace. Listen, I'm not saying Christians don't walk with that. I say so. I didn't say they are lazy and hanging their legs and say, "Oh, praise God." The pastor said, "The time is coming." Every day has his assignment. What did I say? Every day has his assignment. And the duty of a believer is to identify the assignment for that day and do the assignment for that day. That's what I call the period of active wait and see. Christians are never idle. There was a season in my life that I was, in fact, my friend Chuks, the one I mentioned to you about, he said, "Hey, Black, I heard you are the only jobless doctor in Nigeria." That was how he greeted me when we came for our alumni convention in Benin. Because indeed, I did not have what you call a job. And it was very strange. I was a young doctor just finishing NYC. And I was in Lagos. "Oh, did I add that one to it for you?" I should have a job. But actually, I had a job. You are sitting down here this evening listening to me because of that season. Because in that season, my duty was, "Oh boy, feed yourself with this word." You know, they said to Elijah, he said, "Eat." He ate. They clapped him and said, "Eat again, for the journey is long." Once I went to visit a man I used to work with at his ministry when I was a house officer. So now I said, "How far?" I told him that nothing's happened yet, sir. "Ah." He said, "If people like you are still preparing," I told him I was still preparing, that I believe that God is still preparing me for what we have to do. He said, "If people like you are still preparing, then who's going to do the work?" And that actually shook me a bit, until the Holy Spirit whispered something to my heart, that the depth of the foundation is determined by the height of the proposed building. If you want to build bungalow, fine. Was that what you want to build? I realized that. So I said, no. I'm still preparing. It's not a bad answer. Due season. You get what I'm saying? Due season. At that time, I was not doing anything physically speaking. In fact, I was not even working as a doctor the first time. All I used to do morning, afternoon, and night. Listen, literally, morning, afternoon, night. Listen to messages. Read books. Every little bit of money I had was spent buying books, buying tapes. One day, my mother came to Lagos and said, "Your auntie said, all you do with your money is buy cassettes." I said, "You didn't know?" She said, "My money. Is it not my money?" That was how I answered that one. I said, "My auntie said, my money." "No, be so. Thank God. He didn't come and tell you. The bank takes all my money and goes to buy things with it." He said, "It is his money. Praise the Lord." Therefore I learned all the human machinations. He said, "If you design your website like this, it will have more people coming there. If you come to my website because of the shine way there, you are not welcome. You will soon go away. You will find a shinier website. Our new website will soon be launched. We mentioned it before." I called the guy who was going to design. I said, design it around audio. Because I found that the major thing is the audio downloads. That's what I want. I said, design it around audio. He gave me a design a few days later. I said, very good. He took the new, that because we have the audio messages are in groups. All right? So he took the new message group and put a link to that on the home page. So as soon as it opens, you see in the right, you'll soon see it, all right? It's just new messages. So that if you just hit the website, just the hear message. Every other thing is just added onto it. It's a very beautiful site, praise God. But it is added onto the main thing. So I said, before we launch it, we must have 500 downloadable messages and at least 10 books, including Should I Say Yes and Choices, which are books that actually sell most. But if you can't come to Nigeria to buy, my friend said, how do I get 2 copies in Canada? I said, they will swim across. You are not serious. You don't get what I say. How can I send 2 copies of books to Canada? In my mind, how do I get 2 copies? They will swim across. And they come. The point I'm making is that if I have it on the website, what do you mean? Click now. If many people are blessed, if their homes are saved, if they marry the correct man, the correct woman, I'm happy. Listen, it's not about networking for growth of ministry. Listen, my friend will say cancer is also a growth too. Be careful why you are just shouting growth, growth, growth. I don't want any growth that is not inspired by the grace of God. That's why I'm trying to explain all of these things. And people say, it's business, business, and that this one is ministry. Business is different. It's not different. It's not different. You've heard what they call the Pareto principle. 80% of your problems come from 20% of your customers. 80% of your profits come from 20% of your business. That shows that it's not the running up and down. What does grace do? Grace will bring, it will make 20% grow to fill the whole place. That's grace. That one, there's no way, humanly speaking, of doing it. God will send you customers that you did not even know existed. Whatever you are doing in life, listen, what you need is what? Grace. You must succeed by the grace of God. That's the meaning of grace. Grace is the power of God working on your behalf. Grace is the power of God released, you understand, to produce results that are beyond your ability. Grace is when God is working while you are sleeping. He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early and to go to bed late and thereby eat the bread of hard sorrows. He said, he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. He gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. God will solve many problems for you when you are not available. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. And they say, if you're not up by 5, the customers that rise up early, I said, they are not my customers. They are satanic customers. They should go somewhere else. The ones that are my own, they will wait. You know, like I say all the time, it sounds like a joke, but it's the truth. Anytime you see my wife, what do you call her? Most people call her Mrs. Bank. If I'm at home, what is her name? No, answer me now. If I'm at home, what's her name? If I travel, what's her name? She's not Mrs. Banky because of my proximity, is it? Your blessings have your name. Even if you travel, they go wait. That's what I'm trying to explain. Your customers can't go anywhere else. They are your own. People have told me before that when you do ministry, that people will bring more money. I said, the money that belongs to Kingdom World, nobody can spend it. Spend it at your own peril. If you like, go to Australia and God say, give Kingdom World money, you will bring it back. If you don't want to buy yourself, bring it back. The money will hold your pocket and drag you back. What are you talking about? I will not rearrange a program so you can bring more money. Those kind of monies, they cause headache. When a pastor begins to have migraine, it's because they are giving him offering that's not his own. Now, don't quote that as a scripture. You understand my point, but you get my idea. You say, if you start doing your meetings on Sunday morning, all the offerings they will have given elsewhere, they will bring it here. And all the problems they will have carried elsewhere, they will bring it here too. I can't spare myself that one. My duty is to issue forth the word of God. If I'm doing it effectively the way we are doing things like right now, we'll continue. If we can become more effective one way or the other, we'll add that one to it. But please, don't because of offering drive me up and down. So they walk in any goodness money. So let's go and organize a program in Port Harcourt. In life, I will succeed only by what? The grace of God. Say that to yourself. In life, I will succeed only by the grace of God. Say it one more time. In life, I will succeed only by the grace of God. And listen, that grace is available. You won't die before your time. Listen, you must never die trying to pursue success. Success will be added unto you. Listen, the way God has done it, each day of life, you have an assignment. Let me say this one to you. There's a place you are supposed to be. It's not everywhere that's your own. If you are supposed to be in battle and you're at home, Bathsheba will soon begin bath. And that is the beginning of trouble. You are getting what I'm saying? Every season of your life, there is. Listen, people make it appear as if God does not know geography. God knows geography. I hope you know that. He calls people to certain places. You hear what I said? I said, God knows geography. Amen? The other day I made a joke. I said, some people say, let's go and find wife. Women are not plenty that come for kingdom of heaven. They will go somewhere else. Listen, wife, you will marry, you will catch. In fact, it can be on the staircase. Somebody will just help you pick your purse that fell down. Praise God. The Holy Spirit say, arise, kill and eat. Blessings are not by chance. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. I like to say that all the time. Blessings are commanded. They are spoken to go forth. And they have a name on them. If my wife's car stops in front of your house, she does not become your wife. Now just her car stopped there. She will still find her way back home because of the... You know, they say, whose likeness and whose inscription are these? Listen, your likeness is on your blessing. It will find you and stick with you. You just need to learn to, you know, energize and strategize your life, if I may use that expression, with the word of God. And in due season, your blessing will come to you. That way you won't die anyhow. You won't die pursuing blessings. They will come into your home. Did I hear an amen? Amen. They will. It's called succeeding by the grace of God. When people don't realize this, they use the energy that God gave them to maintain life. They convert it to other things. Therefore, a man gains a lot of money, a lot of material things, he cannot even enjoy it. He can't even enjoy it. Meanwhile, it is a blessing of God that makes rich without adding sorrows. What we need in life is the blessing of God. We don't want riches. What we want is what? The blessing of God. And he adds many things to it. One of the things he adds is riches. And when he adds riches, it does not add sorrows. Please, well, I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point today. I was supposed to start talking about what? The survival and the death of Moses. Let me just see what I can do concerning my message. Now, let's get back to the beginning of the message again. All right? Uh-huh. Now, I said we're going to talk about two things. We're talking about the survival of Moses and when he finally died. He was talking about when he finally died. I just went into that particular area and began to say many things about succeeding by the grace of God. It's crucial. Because actually what happened to Moses at the time was that the commission was not yet completed, but Moses had become exhausted. And one of the reasons why he was exhausted, I'll talk about that later, was because of how he used his energy trying to serve the people of Israel. You have to be careful how you control your emotions. You control your emotions in life. And don't let those who you love drag you away from the purpose of God for your life. They often do that. Now, we'll talk about that one later, okay? But the first thing we're supposed to talk about is that survival of Moses. Why did I talk about survival of Moses? Because there was a time God almost killed him. And let me say this one, and then I close. Because I see my time has really gone. Now, first, let me start by saying this. I've also had my pastor in Lagos say this one, Pastor Kwoju. He said something then when we're in church. He said, whatever God gives you is your responsibility to keep. God gave Adam and Eve the garden. And the first thing he told Adam when he put him in there, he said, guard it and keep it. Anything he gives you is your responsibility to keep.
Now, let me say this. You know, something happens. If you hear that a man of God died, now listen to this. This is where my message was to start from. That was just an exhortation. But of course, I will just initiate this for a few minutes, and then we'll be out of here. If a man of God dies, maybe the man is like 40 years old, 45 years old, powerful man of God, and it has happened a number of times. I have many names running in my head. A very visible person. That's what I mean by, you know, a powerful man of God, because that's important, visibility. So, we all know the fellow, and then suddenly you hear, what happened? This person died. What happened? It was an accident. What happened? He was sick. What happened? Somebody fired a bullet. He caught him by accident. You know, we started by saying that death is never an accident. You understand that? Now, but what I'm talking about, you know what normally happens is that we are alarmed. If you hear that Boko Haram killed some people, you are angry. True of us. And I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, what does evil do us? You are vexed. And it's okay to vex. Some things will get you angry. If you hear that two young men were going on the road and then the person driving suddenly, you know, became unconscious, the car entered into the bush, hit a tree, and two of them died, you say, oh God, why didn't they sleep at night? You understand? You have these responses. But if you hear that a man of God died like that, you know what happens all the time? You're shocked. What? Who? Bishop this? Pastor this? Reverend this? Why? As if, no, it should not happen. He's a man of God. That's what they are saying. If it was a boy of God, we can understand. But he's a man of God. If it was a girl of God, no problem. But this is a woman of God. People gather. What happened? Ah! It's not true. No, it's not true. It's not true. Now we have a combination of anger, vexation, confusion. You understand? Everything added together. Yes, anger is there, confusion is there, you know, bewilderment. What? And like one of my friends said, when this happened many years ago, I was with him, we were in the car. I said, can you believe this happened? I said, imagine. He said, yes, I understand. If that can happen to him, what about the rest of us? I said, what is wrong with you? Sorry, that's a Yoruba expression, which I don't even know what it means more than shut up. The summary of it was, shut up. I was not saying what will happen to us, because like his own confusion that, and for a lot of Christians, that's the issue. If that can happen to him, what can happen to the rest of us? So all your faith in divine protection, pew through the window. Because if this divine protection cannot protect a man of God, we boys of God, infants of God, and newness of God, we're dead. We'll be laughing, but that's actually the facts. This is how we respond. But you know, it's predicated on one premise, which is what I want to shoot down today in this teaching, which is the reason why I read that expression. Your carry and anointing does not guarantee your life will be long. That's all. That is, he's a man of God. He's as much at risk of death from anything as any other Christian. He has a duty and a responsibility to do what is right to keep his life. If he doesn't do it, he's dead meat. Moses. You see, you want to talk about commission to ministry. Some people slept and they dreamt. Abi? Arise, my boy, go and preach my word. Did Moses dream? It was, Koko, Moses, are you there? Who are you? I am the Lord. The God of your father, Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. At the point, he said, God, turn around, may I see your back? I'm telling you, that's how much he knew God. Even God said, I don't talk to, you know, your prophets sleep. And when they sleep, I appear to them in a dream. When they wake up, they don't know whether it's because they ate. It takes a while for somebody to let them know it is the voice of God. That's happened to Samuel. But in the case of Moses, listen, and Moses was so predictable. If you had an issue, Moses would tell you, wait. He will go in, close the door, and God will show. You start hearing God die with physical eardrums. That same God commissioned Moses and gave him a rod. Now, you know, there is a one which you are hoping that as I lay my hand, something will happen. But there's a one in which it has happened so many times you are used to it. You can even give somebody, hold this rod for me, if you talk, doing like this, the rod will turn to snake, chop somebody. And the Bible called it what? The rod of who? What did they call it? The rod of God. Moses had that rod with him. That's anointing. What did I call it? Yet on the way, this man called by God, spoken to by God. Oh, don't forget where we started from. Beautiful child. Remember? Beautiful child. Nobody today. Oh. Since he was a child, everybody knew something was different about this guy. God spoke to him to confirm that, yes, things are different. When he left Egypt, we analyzed it. It was because God told him, leave Egypt. God had talked to this fellow. God knew him intimately. Yet on the way, the same God who sent him appeared and was going to kill him. And let me say to you again, God does not joke. If the Bible says God was going to kill him, it means he was about to die. You remember the story of Jonah? When we analyze, you know, before as a child, you think that the fish swallowed Jonah just to do demo. You know, you won't go to Nineveh. You won't go to Tarshish. So you are going to Tarshish now. They're not going for meeting by force in Nineveh. In case you do not know, the fish was planning to digest him. Go and listen to this thing, the spirit of thanksgiving or something. I discussed it there. God does not joke. Remember, what's his name? This was the prophet. No enchantment against Jacob. Balaam. You know, God appeared, an angel appeared, and the donkey rose, disappeared. I hope you know, that angel was not joking. If that donkey had stayed there, Balaam was also dead meat. Because the angel swore that, well, not that I'm adding my own words now, whether the Holy Spirit entered into your donkey and moved you away from there, you would have been dead by now. You know why I said all of these things? To let you know that God does not joke. When the Bible says he appeared and he was going to kill Moses, it meant that, listen, many men anointed like Moses are dead today because God killed them. So you hear that, oh, that man was so anointed. He was so anointed. We don't know what happened. He was just going this way. This one just happened. He just died. Yes. Because anointing does not preserve his life. If it did, God would not have shown up trying to kill somebody. With all the anointing over his life, what preserved this fellow's life at that time was that his wife had the presence of mind to circumcise their son. Can you see it? Ah! Listen, that's why I said learning from Moses. The survival of Moses and the death of Moses. Listen, they don't, because why we respond the way we respond is that we just think that once you have a big name and you call the name, you know, man of God, woman of God, once you're on a plane, it's not supposed to crash. If it crash, God will explain. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You've heard people say things like this. When that plane was doing like that, I just looked to my right. I just saw Pastor E. Adeboye and I knew there was no problem. Tell your neighbor, foolishness. Error. Lie. Total confusion. In fact, maybe you entered the wrong plane. People have said before, they just saw Billy Graham. They knew nothing could happen. Nothing could happen. How can God let Billy Graham die? In case you don't know, one day the man is going to die. You know what happened to Jesus Christ? You know, one of my friends said something. He said, you know why Judas betrayed Jesus? He did not kill him. That it was 419. It wasn't betrayal. It was what? 419. He said, let's collect these pieces of silver. This man, they just said they go kill him. They not fit. Why do you think the man decided to hang himself? You know he returned the money. What does that tell you? Judas is not in the other. Look. Judas' sin was before that day. It wasn't that day. I don't have time to go into it. He had committed before ministry started. I'm telling you, the man don't commit long before ministry started. The man killed somebody long ago and took his wife. Long before then, nobody knew. Only God understood. So they had killed Judas, but now kept him alive just to use him. If you have understanding, what I've said is deep and it's true. Maybe not literally kill somebody, do something of that order. And I say that, you know what happened to Judas in the matter of Jesus Christ? He don't gauge all the times that they have tried to catch him. And he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Is that not so? So he said, okay, this one, now good business. This guy, enough he die. Enough he catch him. So we'll sell him. Collect our 30 pieces of silver. When they come to catch him, when they can't catch him, if they come by, I was supposed to identify him, I was supposed to catch him. We couldn't catch him. And then that becomes good business. Then next time we increase the price to 60 pieces of silver. I'll keep making money because we know this man cannot be caught. To his surprise, the man bled though. When they carried nail, it entered. Ah, no. He said, Peter, this must be a joke. What's going on? Now, what am I saying? So a lot of time we have that attitude towards life. We just assume that if he's a man of God, there's no problem. And some of us are looking for promotion in life, hoping that the day they anoint you deacon or pastor, you are made. You're not going to die. You're not going to be poor. You know, you're going to have a nice wife or husband and children. You'll be rich. All things will be equal. Why? Because they gave you title, pastor and deacon. Tell your neighbor, foul. Lie. And I say, God kills prophets. Tell your neighbor, are you afraid? Tell the person, God kills prophets. Okay, let's be like this. Prophets too may die. Because our time is up, we can't get into the issue further. All right, but just be like, that's what I wanted to explain. There are things that make for long life. Even though you are anointed, you have to specially do it. Actually, it's part of your duties. Because you now know that things that happen to you don't only affect you, they affect many people. Are you getting my point? Listen, maybe 20 years ago, 15 years ago, I may have found it easier to disobey what I believe is the call of God for my life. Because now only me. Yes, really, that's a matter of fact. But now, I have my wife, I have children, but forget them for a moment. I have you. I have many people who are listening to me. Things that I do now will affect them. It will. They have to pray some more to recover from it. They have to. For that reason, you are more careful. Jim said that, listen, when they say post of teacher is available, don't apply. He said, because their judgment is tougher. Leave that teaching job for those God imposes it upon. We're talking about ministry of the word of God. You are getting the point I'm making? What I'm going to explain to us today is that Moses was anointed, but listen, he had to also do what you and I have to do to sustain our lives. In his own situation, what happened was he did not circumcise their son. We'll discuss it further next time, okay? He had to circumcise that boy. You have to obey the word of God. If every Christian is giving offerings, don't say, I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to receive. I don't know what I get my point. If they are giving offerings, oh boy, get up too. Drop your own. Like somebody said to me once, he said, they will be saying, give, give, give. Meanwhile, they will be receiving, receiving, receiving. That's how he did his hand. He said, they will be receiving, receiving, receiving. No, he said, they will say so, so, so. They will be reaping, reaping, reaping. And there was a deacon in the church. He said, they are pastor telling them to so, so, so. Why they are just reaping, reaping, reaping? It's true. Everything that the normal Christian should do, the pastor too must do it. The prophet too must do it. Being anointed is not a sign that you will live long. Being anointed has only one sign. It means only one thing. When you are doing the reason why you were born, you will be effective. That's the only thing it means. Listen, it does not mean you will be successful in life. You can lay hands on the dead. They will rise from the dead. As soon as they rise up, you will collapse and die. It happened to a man of God. Had an accident, his wife died beside him. He told his son, take my hand and put it on her. They did. The woman woke up from the dead. He died. He was that anointed, William Marion Braham. He was that anointed. He had been wounded. His hand was bloodied. Placed his hand upon the woman, she woke up, and then he died. Let me stop there. I've taken enough time for the day. Were you blessed today?
Yes, sir.
I hope you learned something. We'll continue next time talking about the survival and the death of Moses. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's say, Father, we thank you for your word is true, that we will survive and won't die before we have fulfilled the purpose that you have for our lives.